other high schools and the medical director for the U of H athletic master's program. So I'll turn it over to Dr. Ray Hall-Bajani, and you've got it, and I think everybody's been waiting to hear you. That's why they're still here.
Well, who's left still here, right? All right, I'm going to try to make this as painless as I possibly can. All right, so this year I get the fortunate honor of not talking medical for the first time in 4 years, so I get to do snapping hip, which is kind of nice for me because one of the things that's most commonly underdiagnosed and commonly missed, one of those things that you kind of want to keep an eye out for. So we're going to try to fly through this, and we'll show you all the data and what to look for and what specific tests to go after. In addition, we're going to kind of go through some review, some of the surgical procedures and their effectiveness so that you guys know when to send these guys off and what to expect when you get them back. I have no financial disclosures, even though I have all those titles. Two types of snapping hips. We all know about coxa, sultans, or externa, the snapping hip that's along the iliotibial band. There's another one. There's the one that's most commonly missing, usually diagnosed as something else, which is interna, which is snapping hip of the iliopsoas. So we're going to go through both of them. There's four other sites for snapping mechanisms in the hip joint. You have the iliotibial band, which we talked about. We talked about the iliopsoas, those are external and internal respectively. You also have the snapping component or the rectus femoris, as well as the biceps femoris and the labrum. So there are multiple places where where your hip can quote unquote snap. So it's important to recognize that the snapping story that your patient tells you may not be just from one of those two locations. It might be coming from something else. So the physical exam and the story usually gives away the answer for you on this particular problem. We'll go through the interna first, which is the snapping iliopsoas tendon. It's an incidental finding. 10% of the population has it. So that means 10% of the population has it, less than 50% of that actually believe that they have problems as a result of it, okay? So what's the mechanism? The mechanism is basically going the iliopsoas tendon going across the anterior femoral, head and capsule at the pectineal eminence. It also can snap in two other locations. Okay, so it's hard to identify what causes it to happen. Like I said, 10% of the time you find it and you don't even know you have it, and it's just there. When you do injure it, you still don't know how it happened, but it's just going to show itself after repetitive trauma. So painful snapping is what you're looking for. A kid comes to you, and an athlete comes to you and says, my hip is snapping, it's in the groin. If it's not painful, usually it's just an incidental finding, but if they have something new, and it starts to become painful, that's when you worry about it, okay? It's either felt or heard during certain activity. It's usually felt inside the hip, okay? You look for the gait changes. You look for that flexed knee and the heel strikes. You kind of, they're sitting in a position that kind of guards against that snapping hip. And the way you examine it, if you can see the picture carefully, is you bring the hip from the fabular extension and bring it all the way from internal extension with internal rotation, and you... Or you could do it the other way. You basically put the hip into resisted flexion at 15 degrees, put them seated, and you just push on the inguinal area and you see if you can get it to snap. You have to be able to reproduce a snap. It's not. This is one of those that once you reproduce it, it's your dead giveaway as an answer. This is one that you're not going to miss because you'll be able to. They'll be able to tell you that they felt the snap with these two maneuvers. Plain films, 0% effective. Okay, so if you see a snapping hip, you're not sending a kid to the emergency room. You're not sending the kid to an urgent care. You're not even sending the kid to a family doc because they're going to get x-rays, and the x-rays 100% of the time are going to come back normal. Okay? There's no evidence of any pathology that shows in snapping here from an internal standpoint. Ultrasound, you can see it. You have to have a good operator, good tech, or a good physician that knows how to do it. Usually not the greatest sign. MRI, it's most sensitive, but remember, it's a static study. It's a single frame, and this is a dynamic injury. And you're expecting to get a single frame. So what you're going to look for is certain fluid levels and bursa sac irritations. Okay. So when you look at the X-ray or the imaging, you can clearly see that on the right side, you see the iliopsoas tendon. But you look on the left side, you see the red fluid that's completely coming around, more clearly demonstrated right here. That's all you're going to see on MRI for snapping hip. You're not going to see a lot. So it's a story that gives away the answer. It's the exam that gives away the answer, which is why it's important for you guys to recognize that. How do you evaluate it? You have to look at static and dynamic gaits. You need to make sure that the mechanics are proper. We've talked about this the last few years. I know there's been a ton of talks in this particular session on gait analysis, okay? Pay attention to your risk factors, the genu recurvatum, the knee flexion contracture, as well as the foot over pronation and the hip flexor contractions. Okay, these things are going to give it away for you. These are your reasons why they get it. What's like I said, if it's an incidental finding, so be it. But if it's an injury, chances are you can fix this. They'll probably not have the pain or just snap on them. And once again, you don't need to really get this fixed. Physical therapy principles, okay? Treat what you see. Treat what you can see based on what you did on the previous slide. Looking at the tightnesses and weaknesses, the basic principles that you look at. Look at leg length, because leg length is extremely important. That snapping hip is usually due to one side being long compared to the other. Overpronation of the foot, and restore the normal movement, pain goes away. Snapping may not go away, but pain definitely does go away. If all else fails, you just give them a corticosteroid injection directly into the side of maximal tenderness, usually with ultrasound guidance, and you inject the bursa sac. Pain usually goes away. There's your diagnostic injection, okay? You can give them NSAIDs, but if you decide to take them for surgery when they fail everything else, okay, and this is extremely important, your kids do not want to get operated on for this unless they failed everything else. Takes 3 to 4 months to recover, okay? So this is a long-winded procedure to make it go away. Multiple procedure types, basically, it's a lengthening procedure. That's all it is. You take the iliopsoas, you make a Z-shaped incision, and you essentially lengthen it so it doesn't snap as well anymore, plus or minus a vasectomy. The data's up there. You have 4 different studies showing 2 different surgical processes. Basically, all we know is that arthroscopic tends to work better. We know that most of the time the pain resolves itself within a few months, that at 5-year intervals that there is still significant resolution of pain and there's no recurrences, and that the people that fail this either A, tend to rehab too poorly or rehab too quickly or start rehab too quickly in the sense that they get back and they're so quick that the surgery doesn't take well. Same principles you hear for any other surgery, but this is one that's particularly important because once you go in there once, going in there again is a total pain for the surgeons. So this is where you guys as athletic trainers become much more important. Once they get to rehab, allowing them time to rest, allowing that surgical site to heal, allowing the lengthening position to take, then taking the time at the rehab. This is not like a scope of the knee where you can take 6 to 8 weeks and get them back. This takes 3 to 4 months. And it's important for kids to recognize that. So if you have a kid that's in season with this, you might want to try to see if you can hold them off until after season. Doing this during the off season is much more value for to you. Because chances are, if you pull them out of during surgery, there's no way you're going to get them back until the next year. Coxa saltans externa, the snapping hip, right? This is the one that everyone talks about, the iliotibial band snapping over the greater trochanter and causing irritation of that bursa sac. This is one that's most commonly felt, right? This is the one that you can clearly see, and this is the one that they say, hey, I know something's snapping on that side, and I don't know what it is. And it's basically lateral hip plane. It feels like the hip is dislocating or subluxing. That's your giveaway. That's a story giveaway. Some kids will use that word. They say, you know what? I don't feel the snapping. I just feel like my hip's giving out. I feel like it's popping out. Look for that and look for the location. That will kind of give it away. It's usually visible, but once again, we have an obese society. So some chances are if you have a big athlete, you may not be able to see it. But you'll be able to reproduce it. And the way you reproduce it is basically check Oberst test. And put them on the side and move the hip between flexion and extension. But you gotta make sure that you get enough traction and get that hip slightly abducted so that you can get that hip to snap back and forth. If you do too much, it won't snap. If you go too low, you're gonna hit the other knee and you won't be able to reproduce the symptom. So it's more of a feel test. And once you feel it, you'll know what it is. What do you do with it? Once again, plain films, kind of story here, right? X-rays, not helpful at all. Zero help at all. Ultrasound, this one's a little easier. For us as physicians, we could do this ultrasound and see the snapping hip, especially right distal to the greater trochanteric bursa, so you can see the hip snapping back and forth. It's a much easier diagnostic study. MRI only shows fluid in the bursa sac. So this will act like greater trochanteric bursitis, or this will act like IT band syndrome, except with the snapping. So the MRI is almost useless in this regard. The only reason you get the MRI is if we're planning for surgery, just so the surgeon knows what he's getting himself into. And I think I have some pictures, there it is, the clear fluid sitting in the IT band, and you can see the bursa sac completely inflamed. I did put some surgical pictures up, so you could see They're going in under floral. The IT band looks extremely frayed. You can see that it's just damaged down. You can see the trochanteric bursa looks completely worn down and destroyed as a result of repetitive trauma. Once again, same principles, right? This is the snapping hip. We use exact same principles as internal versus external. You look for gait mechanics. You look for genu recto bottom, flexion contractures. You look for foot overpronations. And you look at mechanics and tightness. And guess what? Physical therapy, it's the same thing. Except this one, leg length becomes much more important. The longer side is the one that's usually symptomatic. Why is that? Why is it not the shorter side? Because if they're longer, they're standing over like this because the leg has come over, so it actually has a longer longer distance to go. You treat it like IT band. I mean, it's as simple as that. You treat it like IT band, except you work on the lumbopelvic stability also. Okay, that's extremely important because this is a mechanical process that even though you fix the IT band, you get it as loose as you possibly can get it, you get rid of the trochanteric bursa irritation, this thing can still snap. And so stabilizing the entire lumbopelvic region will help significantly as far as long-term outcomes. Once again, steroid injection, this one's easy. This is we do this all the time. We just inject the treat like a trochanteric bursitis. You calm it down. The problem with this is that this is one that will be a repeat offender. You know, usually I will give one or two injections, and after your second injection within a six-month window, we're going after a different route because it's not working. That means whatever, either therapy's not working, the anti-inflammatories are not working, or they're just not rehabbing right. And at that point, we'll start looking at surgical options. Still same kind of time frame, 2 to 4 months. Same is still kind of procedure. Five big studies out of the literature that I quoted up here, all involving the Z-plasty linking procedure. Basically, the surgeon goes in there, makes a small incision, links up the IT band, may end up taking out the burst attack, depending on how it looks, what we saw in the slides a few days ago. Most people, if not all people, have complete resolution of snapping. More importantly, 99% of people have resolution of pain at the time within 2 weeks of surgery. More than half can return to sports, but the data after sports and recurrence is scarce in the literature. Doesn't necessarily mean it can happen or can recur. I've seen it happen, and I've seen it come back, but more often than not, they just do fine and you never have to worry about it again. That's it.